Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is The Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. Hour number three live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Well, we got Dan Shaughnessy, distinguished columnist from the Boston Globe and an author as well. He's got a new book out called Wish It Lasted Forever about the basketball in the NBA in the 70s and the 80s. And Rob, how it was covering the game back then and how you had so much greater access as a reporter. You got a little taste of that in the 80s. By the time I started covering the NBA, the players were on charter flights.
Yeah.
Practices weren't open. You know what I mean?
I traveled with players. I definitely had relationships with guys, Chris. You know, like you got to spend some time around them. You talked to them at the airport. You might have flown to cities.
Sat next to them.
Yeah. I mean, well, you got a 3 or 4 hour flight and you're sitting next to a player that you cover and you get to talk to him and have a conversation and whatnot. And I can't wait to actually talk to Shaughnessy because I have a lot of respect for him.
I do, too.
Because there's so much homer journalism, and he's in a tough town, Boston. And, Chris, he calls it like he sees it. He's not one of those. He's not a rah-rah hometown columnist. I respect that about Shaughnessy. I'll tell it to his face.
It'll be good to have him on. That's at the bottom of the hour, so keep it locked for that. And, Rob, Brooklyn playing Cleveland tonight. Cleveland, of course, without their top rookie, Evan Mobley, who looks like he's going to be a star in the future. Cleveland got a little something going. You know, I tell you what, the draft has been good to Cleveland, hasn't it? I mean, and they had the bust. What was the guy's name, Rob G? The big bust they had? Yeah, Anthony Bennett. I can't remember the exact year. That was a bad pick. That was a horrible pick. But remember, they got LeBron, obviously, in the draft. They get Kyrie in the draft. They got, you know, a Darius Garland, a Colin Sexton, now Evan Mobley. Like, the draft overall has been good to them. And it looks like, I'm not saying they don't have a championship core, but it's a nice little core that could get them back to relevancy over these next several years. So good for them, we think. But anyway, right now they're getting blasted by Brooklyn. Brooklyn bouncing back from the bad loss to Golden State last night.
After that bad loss, you know, that was almost like an automatic bet right there.
Right. Well, especially with Cleveland. Without Evan Mobley, too. So they're up darn near 20, 70-53 midway through the third quarter. But, Rob,
Bucks up by 10 on the Lakers, too, huh?
Yeah. And the Bucks finally healthy. Chris Middleton's there, Drew Holiday, and, of course, Giannis. And the Lakers waiting on LeBron. Reportedly, he should be back Friday, so we'll see if they can start putting it together. But I'm going to say this about Kevin Durant, and I'm saying this fully about from a basketball perspective, because Kevin Durant and anyone else has the right to do whatever the heck they want. So if he just wanted to be in Brooklyn, wanted to be in New York, didn't like it in Golden State or San Francisco, whatever the case, more power to him. You know, I hope he's happy. I'm strictly talking about from a basketball perspective. I think he made a mistake in leaving Golden State. Now, if everything, and a lot of this is out of his control. I mean, to be honest, Rob, all of it is pretty much out of his control. Meaning that he had no idea a pandemic was going to come, right? He had no idea that Kyrie wasn't going to get vaccinated. And so he's thinking when he goes to Brooklyn, I'm going there to play with Kyrie Irving, not only a great friend, but obviously a great player. And we're going to do something special. I'm not mad at that thinking. But the way things have worked out, and sure, Golden State hasn't won anything. Brooklyn's actually had more success, you know, over these last couple of years. But I think, Rob, had Durant stayed in Golden State, they could have won. I think they could have won as many titles as they wanted. assuming, you know, he and Steph were healthy. With even without Klay, I think those two would have been enough in that offense, in that system. They would have just, I mean, pretty much been unstoppable, and obviously Klay would be back at some point. So we'll see if he wins one here. I picked him early in the season. I'm not going to be making new picks every month, but I don't like what I see. And I do expect Harden to get better, but I'm starting to like, dude, get better because this ain't cutting it. And I don't expect Kyrie back. And so with all this madness going on, I just think he would have been better off in Golden State.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he was ever going to be fully accepted there and also ever given full credit there. He did the right thing for his career, I think, once you start moving around. And if he wins a championship this year without Kyrie, his stock goes even higher.
Agreed.
Like you have a chance to make your own. Everything went against him. Last year there was the injuries. You know, he stepped on the line. Milwaukee wound up winning. This year he comes back.
We stop using that as an excuse?
No, I'm just saying, but it happened.
He stepped on the line. I mean, it
happened
like,
to him.
Oh,
I'm talking
gosh,
about
it
him.
Just happened. It didn't happen.
It happened, but I'm saying he's a part of that. It was his foot. My point is that he has a chance to write his own story. That story is never going to be about him in Golden State. That's why they made the jokes, the underlying things.
Mercenary.
Mercenary. And that's all he was ever going to be looked at. They put up a video about the team, and they didn't even have him when they opened up the new building. Chris, he won two finals MVPs for that franchise. He wasn't even in the video.
But a lot of that was because he had left, though.
Nah, but it don't matter.
That's a part of your history. I get it, and I agree. I'm just saying they wouldn't have done that had he stayed.
Nah, but that's a part of your history that you're trying to act like didn't happen. I just find that to be – if he would have played, Chris, and wasn't a part and they didn't win, or he won the finals MVP and he was just like a hanger-on, then I'm with you.
Not saying they did the right thing.
It's petty.
But what I was saying is that had he stayed, which is what we're talking about, that wouldn't have even been an issue.
Yeah, but
I think Rob had, and you're right. If they win the championship this year, I'm wrong. There's no doubt. If they win the championship this year, then he looks better. Right? Then he would have looked staying in Golden State.
Yep.
But what if Golden State wins the championship without him?
Then
he looks worse.
Well, we'll see. It depends.
Well, right.
It depends
we
on who
see
wins.
From both
right.
of them. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It just depends. But I think he needed to break away to be able to do his own thing, and to take a franchise like the Nets, who have never won jack. I think that's added. I mean, I get it that they got a couple free agents, Chris, but this is a franchise that's never won anything. New York hasn't had a championship in 25 years. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that could
New
elevate
York.
Him.
You mean the basketball, New York
no,
basketball?
No, just, I mean.
Like Knicks, that's 40, yeah, what, 45,
yeah,
48
but I'm saying,
years now.
I'm talking about New York in general. I don't know, the Yankees won in what, 2009?
Oh, is it for the whole city, 25 years?
Since 2009, this is what? How many years
the
is that?
The Giants, wasn't the Giants in 2011?
Was it 11?
So yeah, 10 the years? First 2008 and 2011, I believe.
Okay, so 10
Rob
years
G
for the Giants.
Yeah.
How many years? 13 years for the Yankees or whatever. You know what I mean? It's been
right.
a while.
Right.
And for the Knicks,
I mean, you're right. If he does it, it looks great. And again, maybe they do it. I'm not totally writing them off. But it had Kyrie stayed, obviously, with those three, they're heavy favorites, certainly in the East and probably overall. But, you know, it's not his fault what Kyrie did, but he did it. And so, you know, that's an issue. But I think, Rob, over time, it was never going to be Durant's team. You're right about that. It was always going to be Steph's team because he was there first. They won it before Durant got there, so on and so forth. But Durant was viewed as the best player. And as Durant, the longer he was there, the more beloved he would have become. He wouldn't have always been seen as a mercenary. And nah. I feel you. I think he was seen as one for that 3 years. He only had 3 years.
But as time went on,
I don't think he always would have been seen that way. Especially if they win it without Klay.
If it's still that same group, there is always going to be more for those guys, and he's the outsider. I just don't think that for him going to the Nets, he didn't go there and join somebody. There was nobody there. There was just role players. You know, like he didn't join Kyrie and Harden who were already there. He's the one who started the foundation of that.
It makes a difference.
So you look at the Nets being his team, not he joined Harden's team in Brooklyn, or he joined Kyrie's team in Brooklyn. I just think there's a difference. That's all.
All right, 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. You see what's going on in Brooklyn. No Kyrie. James Harden, at least to this point, hasn't been himself. The Nets struggling a bit. I mean, they got a nice little record, 10-5, about to be 11-5, but they've been losing to the better teams. It's early, but they don't look like the class of the East right now. Did Kevin Durant, who's playing great, make a bad decision? Did he make a mistake in leaving Steph in Golden State for Kyrie and the Nets? Your turn to weigh in with Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it is The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob on a Worship Wednesday, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Listen, guys, don't let age beat you. Go get M-Drive. It's a supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels and boosts your energy. Visit MDriveForMen.com. For 20% off with the promo code iCouple. Don't let age beat you. Rob, on this Kevin Durant thing, quickly, they disrespected him in Brooklyn last night. Channing MVP for Steph? I'm sorry. I don't think they dislike Durant. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But that's disrespectful. Yeah, I agree. That happening in LeBron's house, in Giannis's house, in Jokic's house, in Steph's house. You know what I'm saying? I don't see that happen in Oklahoma City when it was KD's house.
Yeah, it shouldn't happen. But you do have people, and the game has changed because fans, you don't have, Chris, when we were growing up, you know, you were in a certain city, you followed your team. Now all teams are national because I could watch every single game. I could just, you know, it changes it. So there's a lot of – the Warriors don't come all the time. Steph has a big following. Do you know what I mean? The Nets are still trying to find their fan base.
Right. Like, they don't really have a fan base. Let's face People go there because they want to see sometimes the opposing players. But, you know, even if they just want to go see KD or Kyrie or Harden play, but they may not necessarily be a Nets fan. Because most of their fans were in Jersey. Right. And you know they ain't going to Brooklyn every game.
And they never registered in New York. We talked about it when they went to the finals back to back years. Chris, nobody cared in New York. Nobody.
They're far bigger nationally than they are in New York right now.
Until they win, that'll change.
Even if they win it, I think they'll be bigger nationally.
No, I think than in New York.
I think you have a chance to change. People don't care about them here.
Especially if the Knicks flop this year.
Some of the young kids, maybe.
No, the younger kids. That's who you have to go after. It's like the Clippers. You have to go after the younger kids.
The young kids, yeah.
Let's go with Landon in Spokane, Washington. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up?
Rob, man, I got to tell you, I love the ride home and listening to you guys do your thing. But, man, you are dead wrong on Durant. The greatest basketball player, closest to Michael Jordan, man. He should have stayed with Golden State. Durant's the closest thing to Michael Jordan? I mean, in terms of scoring, just putting the ball in the hole. Tell me somebody who's better.
Well, tell me somebody Durant, who's better. I can tell you better players. It's more than scoring. He ain't the closest thing to Michael Jordan.
If I'm going to put money down, I'm putting it down to watch Jordan and Durant. The reason why I called is he should have stayed with Golden State. The media won't get a guy a break. he wants to win. He's not a good player unless he wins championships. He joins the team, he wins a championship. Well, you didn't do it on your own. Well, Parker, you couldn't handle the show without Chris Broussard. How do you like that? It doesn't make any sense. It's not really true.
What are you talking about?
And the way that they treat Durant. LeBron can travel all over, super team, after super team.
There are plenty of LeBron critics. Hello? What? Look, come on now. Let's be fair. No. Chris, there are no LeBron critics?
Oh, no, there's plenty of LeBron critics.
Plenty of former players who said that they can't look at LeBron straight on and think of him as the all-time great because he's a vagabond. We're a Clyde Frazier. There's plenty of guys. How many times has LeBron been left off their top five, Chris, or their top 10 list? Stop.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how much they've left.
Don't act like LeBron gets all love for moving around and nobody's criticized him. That's not a fair take. It's not.
You just got mad because he said you wouldn't be the same without me.
Oh, is that what it was? No, I didn't know what he was talking about. Drew in New Jersey, you're on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. What up, Drew?
Hey, the way I view it is, I guess hindsight's 2020. Before Kevin Durant, first time before Kevin Durant got injured in the finals, like say game before, if he were to leave the Warriors, I view it like you bet $5, you win $1 million. You don't win much, you stay with the Warriors. I feel like he had so much a game by leaving and winning. I think if he left and he didn't win, you still wouldn't hit him as much as if he, say, he stayed with the Warriors and then lost. That's how I view it.
Okay, I'll give you that. But what if he stayed with the Warriors and won, ended his career with 4 or 5 rings?
Then, obviously, he goes – I think you move him in the top 10. I think you move him past Tim Duncan.
I wouldn't go that far.
Why?
Because he was never the architect. He wasn't. And that's where Rob is right. If he goes to Brooklyn and wins, it is better for his legacy than had
he goes through the roof. His legacy goes through the roof. Right.
But Duncan was the architect. Rob, and I don't know if you know, Duncan is one of only three players to ever win multiple championships without a top 75 teammate. You got George Mikan, you got Kobe, who did it twice, and Duncan, who did it twice. That's it.
What about Isaiah?
Isaiah won one. Remember, Rodman just made it on the top 75.
Oh, you're 75, but he wasn't on the top 50.
He wasn't on top 50, but yeah. Isaiah, if you go top 50, Isaiah's in
the top 50 to me is even harder to make than top 75.
Well, it's just the timing, you know. Okay. I mean, there are guys that were added to the top 75 that are better than the top 50, you know.
Let's go to
but
Jabril.
But to your point, he wouldn't have a top 50 teammate.
Right. All right, Jabril in Atlanta, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What up?
Hey, what's going on?
How you?
What's up, man?
I'm good. Hey, rest in peace, John Dawkins, too. But I don't think that
who? Who'd he say?
Young Dolph.
Young Dolph.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
Young
rapper.
Dolph. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I don't think Kevin Durant got those intangibles to lead a team like LeBron.
I agree
that he can't win. You know what I'm saying? You know
he
what
hasn't
I'm saying?
Proven
like how LeBron
it. That's
dragged
one
that
thing,
team from Cleveland.
Yeah. As great as Kevin Durant is,
they said,
he has yet
they said
to
it
prove.
About Michael Jordan. They said it about a lot of players.
They didn't say it this late in the Jordan's career.
Until you win.
They didn't say it this late in his career. That's the thing.
But Rob, I'm just saying that.
What, 12, 13 years into his career?
Chris, if he wins, will that change your narrative?
Yeah,
I'm just
if
asking.
If he wins, narrative. It's a fact.
They said it about Michael Jordan. I was covering the league back then. Oh,
it was 6 years.
He's a dunker. He's a dunker, but he'll never make anybody better. He'll never be a winner. He'll never win anything.
Rob, he's right. Kevin Durant has yet to prove that he can lead a team to a championship.
He won two championships and was the MVP.
He wasn't his team. He wasn't
the
leader.
No.
He wasn't the leader.
He was the best player. He led by example.
So what? He wasn't the leader.
No, I don't buy that.
It was Steph's team.
They don't win those championships without Kevin Durant. Are you kidding?
How do you know? They won one without him.
They by default.
They
wouldn't have won without Kevin Durant.
Don't take that title from them. Don't take that title from them.
Steph and them choked a 3-1 lead, Chris. They won 3-1 lead.
How did
nobody ever choked in the NBA? Steph Curry did that.
You are making no sense.
Yes, I am. Kevin Durant won no championship with Golden State.
I'm
going to
let you talk. I'm going to let you talk and let me talk. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm done. I'm listening to the Jim Rome show on my headphone.
That's supposed to be funny? How did they get to the point where they blew the 3-1 lead, Rob? Because Kevin Durant blew a 3-1 lead against them. I mean, will you stop it? That's nonsense. I'd rather get to the finals and blow a 3-1 lead.
Nobody in the history of the NBA had ever lost a 3-1
lead. I thought you were listening to Jim Rome.
Nobody. Stop it. Stop trying
Kevin
to discount
Durant
it.
Did
and
it.
Act. No, he did not in the finals.
He
no great
no
player's ever given
finals.
Up a finals.
He
nobody.
Did it in the conference finals.
Never done in the finals.
So
it had
what?
Been done. It had
so
been
what?
Done in the conference finals before.
Okay,
it
what
had
does
never
that mean?
Been done.
What does that mean? Tell
it
me what
tells
exactly
you.
That means.
It was the biggest choke job in the history of the NBA finals, and it's attached to that Golden State Warriors team, Steph Curry, and all those guys. They choked.
Let me ask you this. Did any point guard ever dribble out the clock in the finals?
They choked. I don't want to hear about that.
Did any point guard ever
they
dribble
choked.
Out? Of course you don't. Because it shoots down your ridiculous argument.
No, they
argument.
Choke. Why don't you
You're
just admit
rip.
It? They
You're,
choke.
They choke?
They choke.
You ain't
they
saying
set
nothing
the record
me.
For the most wins during the regular season, and they choked down the finals up 3-1.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They did. Because I'm objective. And they choked. But you know what? Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook choked the series before. That's all I'm saying. Don't give me this madness. You're going to rip Steph and Golden State.
Never
choking,
been done before.
But not
when
rip
they asked
the
trivia question, name the superstar that choked down a 3-1 finals. Oh, Steph Curry. Answer Steph Curry. Who is Steph Curry?
Okay.
That's the only answer
what
to that question.
What does that mean? Is his legacy hurting?
No,
I can point
but
to
that's
Magic.
A fact.
Hold
that's
on,
all I'm telling you.
I can point to Magic, LeBron, Larry Bird, Kareem, all types of great players who had negative experiences in the finals.
First
Every
time ever?
One of them.
Give me the first time ever that
it
something happened
matter.
In the NBA.
Yeah,
no,
you know,
don't matter because you don't have
first,
an answer for
I'll
it.
I'll give you a first
you don't
time
have
ever.
A, you don't have a I'll, rebuttal for it. That's
I,
why I don't
I got a rebuttal.
Matter.
Here's a rebuttal, Rob. First time ever to win the unanimous MVP. How about that?
Yeah,
How
but there were other
apples?
Guys who were better who could have easily
oh,
won
really?
Unanimous.
Why didn't anybody do it?
Because
Why didn't
they liked
do
Steph.
It?
They liked
well,
Steph and they
well,
didn't like
oh,
other
yeah.
guys.
Oh, okay, fine. Stop it. The fact you want to go there first ever, that's a first ever that shuts you up. 877-99
A first ever,
yeah,
that choked down the finals?
They like Steph. That shuts you up. That was a shut up. Because that you had to go off script. They like Steph. Okay, yeah, enough said.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Our next guest is a distinguished columnist for the Boston Globe, does a terrific job there, has for several decades, also an author, and he's got a new book out called Wish It Lasted Forever. We welcome in Dan Shaughnessy. Dan, welcome to
Dan.
The Odd Couple.
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing tonight?
We're doing great. And before, Dan, I want to get into your book, but I do want to say, and I said it earlier before you were on the air, you are one of the best newspaper people and sports columnists in the country. Never a homer guy. Just cover it like it is. I admire that, even in a tough town like Boston. So I just wanted to say I admire the way you handle writing a column in a major city without having to wave pom-poms like a lot of columnists around the country.
Well, since you're a well-known Patriot hater, that means a lot coming from you.
you know must it. Have ripped Brady at some point, Sean. See, that's what this boils down to.
Yep. He has ripped Spygate. I've read his stuff. You call it like you see it, and I love it, Dan. That's all.
I appreciate it.
No, I second it, though. You do a great job for sure. All right, let's get to the book, Wish It Lasted Forever. It's about the NBA in the 70s and 80s, which is certainly the 70s. A lot of people don't look back as like a great era. But you got a different spin on it in your book. Tell us about it.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, the league changed in 1979 when Magic and Larry came in. It just did. I mean, you know, with that situation, you got, you know, finals on tape delay. You got, you know, problems with drugs in the league, teams losing money. I think 17 out of 23 were losing money at that point. You know, Larry O'Brien's still commissioner. So, you know, Magic and Larry come in and it kind of rescues the league. Things are on the uptick. And then those Celtic-Laker finals, that was like the Ali Frazier of the NBA. It just got things going. Michael comes in 84. David Stern comes in 84. And it just vaults the thing to another level. And by 92, you got the Dream Team and you're global and you're international. And here we are today. But what this book does is it brings life, and it's a little bit of a love letter to that transition period when the league got on its feet and took off because of Larry and Magic. And you know, we all know who won the games and who would this and that stats and you know, who's the Hall of Famers and all that. But this is like an inside look at what it was like to be with them, to tell the readers what they were like, because there was great access then. I mean, man, the COVID bubble, access dwindled to zero. Guys had to sign waivers saying they wouldn't approach anyone if they saw them away from the facility in the COVID bubble. And that's all we did as our best work was away from the facility, you know, waiting for bags, being in the hotel bars, being commercial flights, just all this downtime we had, because at that time, covering the team, you know, outside of not having the groupies and the money and the fame, it was like we were on the team. We were always there. And it was just a great way to get to learn about the league and about the individuals. And, of course, that particular Celtic team had the big personalities, trash talkers, in your face, you know, achievers, Hall of Famers. And this is just a way to bring out those stories about what they were like.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough, Dan, because I started covering the league in 1987. So I was on those commercial flights with the Nets and whatnot, you know, and having to take the first flight out of town. You remember that? That was how we traveled. I mean, we were on every 6 a.m. flight all over the country. And I guess the other thing, too, is you really got a sense of these guys. And the money wasn't so big. They made a lot more than we did. Yeah. But the money wasn't so big to where you couldn't really like build. It wasn't like a barrier now. Guys are so wealthy that, you know, a newspaper reporter or whatever is like a peon to them. You know what I mean?
No connection.
Am I right?
No connection at all. I mean, in those days, again, you know, they were more famous and wealthy, but we were all the same age. We were starting families, and, you know, I'd bring my little girl. My wife's from Detroit, so when Celtics would play in Pontiac, you know, we'd get on a Northwest Airlines commercial flight Saturday morning. I would bring the baby girl, 1 year old, on the plane to see her grandparents and drop her off at Metro with the grandparents and pick her up the next day. Meanwhile, you know, I'm walking on the plane with a one-year old girl, and, you know, they were like, oh, we're going to call DSS on you. What are you doing, Scoop, bringing that little girl on here? And you know, I mean, they were passing her around. Bill Walton's head was bigger than my whole baby's, you know, whole body. And you know, McHale would say, he says, I can tell you're a first-time dad because you're all protective and sterilizing the pacifier. He says, you get second, third kid, you just let the dog lick that pacifier. Everything's good with that.
Dan, tell us, because obviously he's such a legend. And certainly the younger listeners just know him by his fame. But tell us, give us a little feel into what Larry Bird was like, just as a person, his personality and all that.
Well, I think you guys have a grasp of it. I mean, he was not trusting of new people, and I understood that. You know, he was, you know, a poor guy from rural southern Indiana. Even in Indiana, rural southern Indiana is kind of looked down upon because, you know, the real serious balls played up in Indianapolis and Bloomington. And so even that was kind of working against him. And he ends up at a small, you know, Indiana State, the lesser conference, going up against the Big Ten, and, you know, couldn't go to Kentucky because Joe B. Hall didn't think he'd get a shot off in the SEC, and he harbored those feelings forever. And you know, of course, losing to Magic in the final. Magic had two NBA players in his team, Gregory Kelser and Jay Vincent, and Larry just had a bunch of guys like us, you right. know, accompanying him to go 33-0.
I still remember watching that and how big that was in this country.
Oh, my.
Right?
It's the biggest college game that'll never be replicated because of the, you know, the way it's expanded with TV cable and all that. You can't replicate the rating that game got. It just electrified the country, and he harbored that forever. I mean, he would, if he were playing Phil Hubbard, a Michigan guy, or Kent Benson, Indiana guy, big timed him, when he would just beat the hell out of them because it stayed with them. And that Celtic team, they had all guys from lesser conferences. Gerald Henderson, Virginia Commonwealth, Cedric Maxwell, North Carolina, Charlotte, Robert Parrish from Centenary, I mean, had like 2,000 students. You know, the whole team, Dennis Johnson went to Pepperdine, had to Harvard right. Junior College. So they were not blue chip, you know, kind of college royalty, and that stayed with them and made them tougher.
Mm. I got a quick question before you go, Dan, and it's a little unrelated to the exact topic of the book, but the 70s, you know, if you go back, I'm starting to really feel like the guys in the ABA get short shrift. And like, because we know they used to play exhibitions against the NBA teams.
Yeah.
And the last 3 years, they beat the NBA teams like two-thirds of the time. And we know the names that came out of there. I kind of am starting to feel like those ABA titles should count for these guys. So like a Julius Erving would have three instead of one. Tell me about the ABA-NBA dynamic back then.
I understand that. I mean, you know, I mean, Terry Pluto did a great book on the ABA, and you know, Larry Bird growing up there. I mean, the Kentucky Colonels, that was the team for them. They would go see those games, and Louis Dampier, and of course, you know, Dan Issel, Artis Gilmore.
Did Larry Brown play for them?
He played in ABA.
Did Larry Brown play for them? I think
I do not know that. Okay. I cannot answer that.
He played in the ABA, but I thought he played in the ABA.
You know, when the four teams got absorbed, it was a big deal. And, of course, like you say about Doc, you know, we didn't see the best of Doc. I mean, we saw it here in Massachusetts when, you know, Curry Hicks Cage, and he was lighting it up as a sophomore and junior in his 2 years at UMass on the varsity there. So we knew. But then he went away to the ABA, and people really didn't know what you saw.
Right.
And then he got to the Sixers. He was great, but he was not the same Julius that you had earlier. So, I mean, yeah, all respect to the ABA. I understand what you're saying. It's not the worst idea to start pushing that agenda.
Yep. All right, Dan. Great stuff, man. And like Rob said, we both respect you greatly.
We respect you greatly, yep. No doubt about it. And looking forward to reading this book. Sounds like a good book for the stocking for Christmas.
Wish it lasted forever. Life with the Larry Bird Celtics. Enjoyed spending time with you guys. Take care.
All right. Yep. That's Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe sports columnist. Go check out his book, Wish It Lasted Forever. All right. The Jets. The Jets.
Here we go,
Rob,
again.
The Jets.
Here we go.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any goofier, it does. That's next. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know what this means. It means we are wrapping up a Worship Wednesday. Kanye West. Yeah, he should stick to rapping, but hey, he's pouring out his heart to the Lord. All right. All right, Rob, we are live in the Fox Sports Radio studios. And look, I came on here. You did too. You wrote a column. On Monday, we were like, all right, New York, your love affair with Mike White was ridiculous. To say that after one game, even one and a half, I'll give you that, that he was challenging Zach Wilson for the starting job or the quarterback of the future spot was ridiculous. But, Rob, I got to be honest.
This is even more.
Yes! They are starting 36-year-old Joe Flacco when they play Miami on Sunday.
Chris.
Why?
Go ahead. Because Robert Saleh and Rex Ryan and trying to win a game like you think you could beat them, you know, so let me put in this veteran. It's a wasted, these are wasted snaps.
Absolutely.
Even if with Mike White, Chris, he's not a starter. I think it would be obvious, right? But shouldn't we see if this guy could be a viable backup?
Yes! Yes.
He might be able to play spot start and be decent and keep you in a game.
Right.
But my God, Flacco, for real? Like, why are you wasting snaps on Joe Flacco?
You're absolutely, like, totally right. And Saleh has sung Mike Wright's praises, including after the game. He was like, hey, don't throw him under. But, you know, he defended him. We said it. Look, this guy is not the next Kurt Warner, Tom Brady, whoever you want to throw out there. But I got to be honest. Look, can we get a little bit of balance? I mean, they shouldn't have praised him as he was going to be one of those guys after one game. But now you don't just totally throw him out if in place of 36-year-old Joe Flacco
after one bad game.
Right. Like you said, it's now everything is right. Zach is our guy. But if Zach's not healthy, go with Mike White again.
Exactly. As a backup, he's fine, Chris. I'm not saying. It's just what bothered me was that they were talking about like there was a quarterback.
Yes.
You just drafted
Zach Wilson
with the second overall pick. Are you serious?
And you were right. That's the thing. And Rob, I don't know Robert Saleh, but I'm willing to give him a chance, right? See what he can do and all that. But this is a bad look because it makes him look very indecisive, or perhaps even that he's doing this because of the criticism.
Yes.
You know, whether it's Rex Ryan, whether it's New York media, whatever, that's what it comes off like.
You can't coach like that. Like, well, we need to win a game. We're playing the Dolphins. They're not that good. Maybe we can squeak this one out, Chris. Maybe Flacco can win me this game and take the heat off of me. That's what this is.
And even if he wins it, so what?
Right.
They're not making the playoffs. Joe Flacco's not your quarterback of the future. And again, neither is Mike White. But to your point, maybe he could be the backup. I mean, they were talking about this guy like he was – might be a starter in the league just a week ago.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden he can't even start this game?
It's so ridiculous. Sometimes you ask yourself, I can't believe the Jets are that bad, or I can't believe the Lions are that bad, Chris, or I can't believe, you know, this particular team is so bad. There's a reason.
Right.
And it ain't no, people always talk about they got bad luck or they're snake bit. No. Bad decisions, bad front office people, and bad coaches.
That's what it is.
Right.
It is exactly. Look, cultures matter in sports, right? Teams build great culture. Sometimes if you have just superstar players, you can overcome it, right? But a lot of times you need to set a great culture. And, Rob, it's no coincidence that a lot of times when you got this mediocre or bad ownership – that they keep what, no matter who the GM is, no matter who the coach is, it doesn't work. And that's what we're seeing with the Jets.
Yep.
It starts from the top. Now, they're just hiring the wrong guys. They got a bad culture, whatever you want to call it. But the owners have something to do with this. And this is ridiculous.
I agree. The whole thing, and that's why I thought it was outrageous, Chris, that you could – your quarterback who you drafted just gets hurt. He wasn't playing well. I get that. He's a rookie.
Right.
You're throwing
you
him
know
in
he's
there.
Gonna be ups and downs.
Right. He's going to be ups and downs. But some guy who was in a fifth round draft pick out of I can't remember the school he went to. He transferred to a smaller school, Chris.
Mike White. I can't think of it.
I can't remember the school off the top of my head. But my point is, it ain't like. And then this guy comes out and says, he should have been a first-round pick.
Right.
I mean, really?
He
right
went to South
there,
Florida and Western Kentucky.
Kentucky, right. Schools. That's where he – and Chris, once he said that, I think I would have been Robert Saleh and said, dude, okay, I think we
– you're in
you've gone
end.
Off to – why would you
oh,
say
yeah,
that?
Oh, yeah, Saleh would have said – right. That was – and now he looks even worse. And right. Granted, that's his fault for saying that. That's an asinine comment.
Ridiculous.
You know, but – this is just, this makes no sense. And like we said, they overreacted to one game in the positive, and now they've overreacted to one game in the negative. And it just seems like they got no convictions, right? They're just winging it by the seat of their pants. Terrible look for the New York Jets. All right, iCouple signing off. Stay tuned right here on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or SiriusXM Channel 83. You got Mike Harmon and Jason Smith. Peace!